We are blessed today to have a guest preacher who's a guest, but maybe not exactly a guest because he's a part of our community. And yet he is a guest as Bright and his wife. They come to us from southern India. And Bright, if you haven't had the chance to chat with him yet, is doing a PhD in his third year, right? Third year, which if you know anything about doctoral programs, is one of the toughest because you have a little exam coming up that is rather difficult. He's doing that in systematic theology, and they are staying in the Berkeley Missionary Homes, and so we're blessed to have him, have them actually be part of our community and to be able to learn with him today as we wrestle with the scriptures. And so I invite you as we read those scriptures, the three scriptures that come to us today, if you want to pick them up or get them later, they're on the yellow piece of paper. You can also follow along on the Pew Bibles on the pages listed on the screen. As we read from the Kings and Thessalonians and Mark. And so I invite you to listen for the word of God. Our first reading is from 2 Kings, chapter 20, verses 1 to 11. 1 and 2 Kings are a historical book talking about the kings of Israel. And they basically tell how the story of how Israel went from being really great with God and went downhill. As kings became a little bit narcissistic. Our second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. It is a pastoral letter written by Paul to the church in Thessalonica. That's why it's so hard to read. I tend to like to just abbreviate it as Thess, T-H-E-S-S, easier to say. And so we'll be reading that as well, listening for Paul's pastoral advice to that church. And our third reading is from the Gospel of Mark. What we believe to be the oldest and first written gospel that is simple and straightforward, telling the story of Jesus and who he was and what that means. So in the midst of this history, in the midst of this pastoral advice, and in the midst of the story of Jesus, let us listen for God's word. 2 Kings chapter 20, 1 to 11. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to the king and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." And then King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Remember now, O Lord, I implore you. Remember how I walked before you in faithfulness with the whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And King Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, prince of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Indeed, I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And then the prophet Isaiah said, bring a lump, of figs, and let them take it and apply it to the boil, so that the king may recover. And King Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" And Isaiah said, "The sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. The shadow has now advanced 10 intervals. Shall it retreat 10 intervals?" And Hezekiah answered, "It is normal for the shadow to lengthen 10 intervals. Rather, let the shadow retreat 10 intervals." And the prophet Isaiah cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back the 10 intervals by which the sun had declined on the dial of Ahaz. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 to 22. "But we, Paul and his partners in ministry, we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know that he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about Jesus, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, and she begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said to the woman, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But the woman answered Jesus, saying, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And so the woman went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord. Let's welcome right up as he comes to share the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Before beginning our reflection today, let us offer a word of prayer. This prayer has been taken from one of the prayers of Saint Augustine. O Lord, my God, I believe in you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Insofar as I can, insofar as you have given me the power, I have sought you. I became weary and labored. O Lord, my God, my sole hope, help me to believe and never to cease seeking you. Grant that I may always and ardently seek out your countenance. Here I am before you, with my firmness and my ignorance. Where you have opened the door to me, welcome me at the entrance. Where you have closed the door to me, open to my cry. Enable me to remember you, to understand you, and to love you. Amen. Greetings to all in the name of Jesus Christ. I am especially very much thankful to our dearest pastors, Pastor Mondi and Pastor Bitty, for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share God's word in this morning. Especially me and my wife Remya, we both are grateful to all of you for the fellowship and the love we receive from this church in these days. We recently moved to Presbyterian Mission Homes. There we can find a space for our living in this Bay Area. We are looking forward for sharing our cultural values and some of the specific cultural things, some of the experiences that we are bringing here with you in the coming days. And also, we are very much thankful to the broader framework and the broader cultural realities, particularly the multicultural reality especially I'm coming from a village-like area in Kerala, you can find typical villages like other states in India. But I'm not coming from any town or city area. My house is away from 30 kilometers away from Trivandrum city. Trivandrum is the capital city of Kerala. So while we are being here, everything are very much new to us, all the experiences, even when we participating in the church's life, in the worship services, when we are participating in the fellowship of families, when we are talking with people. So everything is very much new to us. So we are particularly grateful to the community, the people here, for the wonderful experiences we are receiving, experiencing day to day. Especially we are coming from a state called Kerala in India. Kerala is in the very end of southern part of India. So there we can find a Christian percentage of 18% of Christianity. Comparing to other states of India, it's a large percentage we could find that. Malayalam is our vernacular language. Kerala is commonly known as God's own country, especially tourism, backwater tourism is very much famous there. And also the Kera, name Kera, which means coconut. Kera means coconut. So when you visit Kerala, you can see in everywhere full of coconut trees. That is why our curries and our food items filled with a lot of coconut oil, coconut milk, coconut cream. That is very much part of our culture. Traditionally, it is believed that St. Thomas the Apostle came into Kerala in AD 52. And it was the Christian English missionaries who paved the work, the seeds of modern mission, especially supporting the underprivileged communities like ours. So we are very much proud of being part of the wider missionary tradition. Also, we are very much proud of coming from South India United Church, which is a blending of both Presbyterian tradition and the LMS tradition, London Missionary Society tradition. Later it became the Church of South India. So we are very much proud of being part of that tradition as well. And my wife and me, we are requesting your continuing prayers and support for our studies and our living in this Bay Area. Let me turn towards today's teaching. There is a funny story which is well popular in my place. A grandmother who was living in a remote village surrounded by large mountains. The large mountains made a lot of inconveniences for her in moving out of that remote place. One day she remembered the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 verse 20. It is written as, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." She thought, if she could start a regular prayer, the mountains around her house may get moved out from there. So she started praying. After 1 week, She very much hopefully looked outside her house, but the mountain is there. Again, she strongly prayed for a couple of more weeks, but when she looked outside, the mountain is still there. Third time, she prayed more strongly than last times. However, after a few weeks, when she looked outside, the mountain is still there. There is no change for the large mountains. Suddenly, she got angry. She thought she prayed persistently, but the mountains never moved. She threw away her Bible and said, "I really was knowing that it wouldn't going to happen in any way." This story particularly reminds us to see how persistent enough are we in our prayers. Praying to God is essential in building up our spiritual, social, cultural, and political being and living. In this sense, the experience and the practice of prayer is definitely a broader and larger concept. It is both the personal and social, subjective and objective aspects. It is looking towards our being and at the same time also looking towards the outer world and its realities. According to Christian vision, prayer is the central aspect in our holistic spiritual growth. How we can build up a more meaningful prayer life in our living today? How we can live more persistence in our prayers? Let me share with you two thoughts in this morning. First one is prayer as speaking to God. Prayer as speaking to God. Of the lessons for today, the Old Testament reading provides us some deeper insights on the meaning and significance of prayer. As we know, the Old Testament reading narrates King Hezekiah's prayer amid his afflictions, illness. Hezekiah is one of the three perfect kings of Judah. The other kings are David and Josiah. As you know, his reign of 29 years was marked by great material advancement in the Judaic society. The Aqueduct of Jerusalem preserves his fame to this day. Under Hezekiah, the worship of Jehovah, which had been once neglected, was restored. And the nation enjoyed an era of great prosperity. King Hezekiah, even though he is sick and at the point of death, is not getting disappointed or not being hopeless or not get discouraged. What we see in his life is that he is ready to communicate with his being, that is the being in relationship with the living God. He understands that his being is not separated from God's being. He recognizes its strong interconnectedness amid his afflictions. This particularly motivates him to rely on God as his final hope. The Hebrew word for prayer used here is palal, which means intervene, interpose, and pray. This most common word is seen 84 times in the Old Testament. Whereas in New Testament, the common word used for prayer is prosuike, which means come into face to face and close contact with God. Also, the willingness of surrendering and speaking out to God. While Hezekiah prays, he's intervening and speaking out to God by coming into God's being. When we more deeply look at Hezekiah's story and his way of seeking God, we could see that he's not being silent by thinking that, why God has done this to me. Nor he is turning away from God, or he is not thinking that it is my destiny, I am disgraced, I am totally fallen. He is not doing like that. Rather, he is trying to actively communicate with God for trying to find out the possibilities to invoke God to turn towards his miserable realities. He identifies the potentiality and the power of prayer. That's why Saint Augustine defines prayer as speaking to God. It is an inner conversation or dialogue. Prayer is an inner conversation or a dialogue. Prayer is the seeking of God's name, because we are the temples of God. Even though we are sinful creatures and are in our limited nature, God can fill his grace upon our hearts and beings. God can transform us from imperfect status towards perfect temples, because God is the deepest foundation of our existence. In the early church's tradition, we know about the desert monks or the desert fathers, you know that. These monks were those who left to secluded and lonely places of deserts for prayers and spiritual awakening, especially after the Emperor Constantine declared Christianity as an official religion. These desert monks, including Abba Isaac was one of the well-known desert fathers, considerably sharpened the whole picture, raising the business of commitment to a more dramatic and aggressively challenging play. In a recent interpretation on the spiritual practice and the prayer life of these desert monks, we could understand that they were not really excluded from the outer reality of the world. Rather, they were participating in the reality of the world more creatively, more dynamically, through connecting their inner being with the being of God. Most often, people get misunderstood on the fruitfulness of prayer. People may think prayer as putting before God a long list of our wishes. If God fulfills these wishes, then God is great, and people are willing to offer more praise and more glory to God. If we have not seen any result according to our wishes, we may get discouraged. But in a true prayer, there is a grace that touches not only the wishes of our material body, but the entire our body, mind, and soul. It is not really matter in what forms or methods we pray in our life. Whether it is a silent prayer, if it is a meditation, or if it is in a louder voice. What is significant that Are our prayers really help us to speak with the being of God? The second point I would like to mention in relation with the theme of prayer is the persistence in prayer demands an ardent faith in God. Persistence in prayer demands an ardent faith in God. Especially in the story of King Hezekiah, whether he was succeeded in his prayer? Yes, he succeeded. He got answered. I believe every prayer is answered in various degrees or levels. Sometimes we feel that we didn't get anything. But there is something that changed our living with God that may be beyond our sensory level, our contour, beyond our perceptions. Here in the story of Hezekiah, God has seen the tears of Hezekiah because he believed in God's graceful healing. How Hezekiah could come into new relationship with God? It is only through his ardent faith in God's power. Nothing else. It is the faith in Yahweh that changed his life, that changed his attitude towards God and his miraculous healing, miraculous activities in his life. Because God is always our sustainer and our source of life. Karl Barth, a German Protestant theologian, once said, "When we pray, our human condition is unveiled to us. And we know then that we are in that distress and also in that hope. It is God who places us in this situation. But at the same time, he comes to our aid. Prayer is thus our human response when we understand our distress and know that help will come." Unquote. Here the help from God is the grace through Jesus Christ. Jesus says we should always pray without ceasing. Not give up at any way. In our various living situations, the daily continuing prayers keeps us in range of Jesus' voice. By keeping within the range of his voice, we can hear him knocking at the door of our hearts, inviting us to deeper relationship with him. When Jesus teaches us, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," Matthew chapter 5 verse 44, Jesus broadens the landscape of prayer in creating a new transformed humanity. One of the famous and well-known Indian Christian theologians, Samuel Amrudham, he says, "Prayer is fellowship, prayer is friendship." The prayer not only helps us to finding out our inner being and the unity of body, mind, and spirit, rather it helps us to living in the overflowing of grace from our inner being. The challenge before us is that, do we have a creative prayer life that embraces the whole humanity? If you also look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shows us that the deeper meaning of prayer in our life. This prayer also challenges us, how simple must be our prayers and how deeper must be our faith in God. The Lord's Prayer is the simplest prayer and also very rich in meaning. What we understand. Our Father, not my Father. Your kingdom, not my kingdom. your will rather than my will. Jesus expands the richness and the world of prayer. Saint Paul also vividly emphasizes the need for praying to God in all the times. The faith is the one that sustains us in our prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, let me conclude this short message by mentioning an interesting, another funny story. A 3-year-old boy went into a grocery store with his mom. Before they entered, mother said to the boy, "Now, you are not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't even ask to." She put him in the cart and the boy sat down in the kid's seat. When they came into the cookie section, boy asked, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Mother said, "I told you not even to ask. You are not going to get any at all." The boy sat back in his seat. After some time, again, they came near to the chocolate or cookie aisle. The boy again stood up and asked for chocolate. The mom again rejected his plea. Finally, they were approaching the checkout line. The little boy sensed that this may be only his final chance. So, just before they got into the line, the boy stood up and shouted in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Everyone round about just laughed, some applauded. Due to the generosity of other shoppers, the little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. It's a funny story, but it again reminds us that the persistence in prayer definitely will change our situations and strengthen our relationship with God. It opens new opening and possibilities to grow in the grace of God. The question is, can we meaningfully speak with God through our prayers? Are we willing to hear God's voice in our prayers? May God strengthen our lives to grow day by day in our prayers. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, speak to us in our prayers. Strengthen our faith so that we may become persistent in our prayers. As Hezekiah prayed with a firm faith in God, help our lives to creatively turn to you, to experience the overflowing of your grace that transforms our entire being and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm grateful for Greg sharing. I'm also grateful that I will never think of chocolate chip cookies, or I will always think of chocolate chip cookies in a different way. So let us stand as we respond to God's word, singing about the ways in which Jesus says yes even to chocolate chip cookies. Let us bring our prayers as we sing to Jesus.